Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
Y'all hear me in the back okay? All right. We'll be in Exodus today, second book to the right, or if you want to be complicated, start in Revelation, go 65 books in reverse, and you'll be there. And today the message title is Good News for Moms. And if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll begin in Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. We're going to look at the parents of Moses this morning. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes, that's reeds, for him, daubed them with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe. Your translation may say wash. And so it could have been that she was down there to bathe, or she was down there to wash clothes or anything like that, at the river. And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. Verse 6. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Isn't that a beautiful part of the story? Then verse 9. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, "Because I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you this morning that, God, that you were a sovereign God then in the events of Exodus chapter 2, and you're a sovereign God today in the life that we live today. Apply these principles to our heart. Encourage our moms this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when we look at what happens right here, we are seeing something that is actually very amazing. It's an amazing part of the Scriptures. Because when you get into Exodus chapter 1, then we begin to kind of see a little bit of the genealogy. We see the life of Joseph, and Joseph, how he comes into Egypt, and the Lord exalts him to a position under Pharaoh. And we know that through the life of Joseph, that many, at the last part of Genesis, that many had been saved because of it. And the children of Israel are dwelling now in Egypt. Joseph has passed away. And now there is another Pharaoh, and this new Pharaoh, this new king, he's not as compassionate as the last one. This new king has no mercy on the Hebrew children, but what he doesn't realize is that God is raising up right before his eyes the deliverer who is going to deliver them when he's up in his years, 80, 85 years old. His life begins to change. If you remember, at 40 years old, he goes to Midian. Then after another 40 years, the Lord says, "Moses, I need you to go to Egypt and deliver my people." And so now we have that scene of the birth of God's deliverer, Moses. Now, this morning, I want you to concentrate on the parents. Now, this applies to all of us. It applies to our moms. It applies to anybody of male or female of any age that can understand. It applies. And so what I want you to see this morning is what God does in order to bring this about. Now, think about something first before we get into the scriptures here. Jochebed and her husband had no idea that they were about to be used in such a mighty way. They were under the same oppression as everybody else. Many believe that Jochebed was one of the, which is Moses' mom, was one of the midwives that was in the area as well. And so if you remember from chapter 1 in Exodus, the midwives were told by the Pharaoh that if a baby boy was born, to throw them in the river. And if a girl was born, to keep them alive, because the people of Israel, the Hebrews, were growing mightily. God was blessing them, and they were growing mightily in the land. And he was afraid that they might side with their enemies one of these days and cause Egypt to be taken away instead of the Hebrews. So there was a lot of fleshly, secular thinking going on in this king's life. But what he had no idea is that the covenants and the promises of God to deliver the people of Israel out of Egypt after 400 years was about to come to pass. He had no idea that God was the one actually in control. So here we go. The first thing we want to remember, there's three observations that we're going to get this morning, is this. God remembers your efforts. God remembers your efforts. And I'm speaking primarily of your efforts of faith. Those things that you do where you're trusting God. And you're saying, God, we can't make it without you. God, we can't, there is no ability. This is absolutely impossible without you. Did you know God likes to put us in that situation? He likes to put us in a position where we have nothing but him to depend on. Now, let's go back in time and imagine that you're Jochebed. By the way, you say all it said in chapter 2 is the parents. Where did you get the name? Well, you can go to Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, and you can get the family. Or you can go to Numbers 26, chapter 26, verse 59, and you can get the family. And just to remind you, Miriam, you remember Miriam in the Old Testament, Miriam is older than Moses. In fact, it was Miriam, the sister, that ran along the river as the ark is floating in the current down the river to see what would happen to baby Moses. Well, Moses hadn't been named Moses yet. That's going to happen later when Pharaoh's daughter names him Moses. And so Miriam is a sister. You remember Aaron in the Bible? Aaron is the brother. And so we kick off right here and we find out that Amram, by the way, Amram is the husband. That would be Moses' father. And so we get here in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So Moses' mama is born as a direct descendant within the priesthood, okay, which makes sense for Moses and his role that God had him in later. So the woman conceived and bore a son, verse 2, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. I had never met a mama who says that their child is ugly. Have y'all? Now, some of you are wanting to say, well, I've met some pretty ugly babies before. But I've never heard a mama that would admit it. I can tell you that right now. And he was a beautiful child. I want to point something out on that beautiful child. Now, this is extra biblical writing. It's not in the Bible, but it was something in the book of Josephus. And you might remember Josephus was a historian that lived a while after Christ, and he recorded oral traditions that had been passed up. He recorded things that happened in his day. He was a historian. And Josephus writes a pretty extensive document in his writings, the Antiquities of the Jews, and he writes about Moses' dad having a dream or a vision of the Lord when Moses was born, when the baby was born, that God was going to use him to do a great thing in deliverance. Now, that's extra biblical. I don't know if it's true or not, but I know that it made it to a Josephus's history book. We'll leave it at that. But the word beautiful that is used here, you can do a study on it. You know what it means? Beautiful. That's what it means. So I take it at that. This was a beautiful baby. And they loved this little baby boy just like any parent loves their children. And they hid him 3 months so that Pharaoh and all of his cohorts couldn't find this baby and this baby be thrown into the Nile. They were trying to save his life. But verse 3 says, when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark. Now, remember, God remembers your efforts. I want you to see the steps of faith that this mom is doing for her son. First, she's hid the child for 3 months. Then she comes to a place in verse 3 where she can no longer hide him, is what the Bible says. I don't know why. Maybe they were getting closer and about to find the baby. So she took an ark of bulrushes. Do you realize how much faith it took to do this? By the way, it took so much faith that this part right here is written in Hebrews 11:23 in the Hall of Fame of Faith. And they're just listed as the parents. Not a name or anything. And I like that because that's how God, I see us. Our names are not in the Bible, but they're in the Bible. We're like the unnamed. Because it's interesting, if you're reading in Hebrews 11, you see everybody's named. I mean, name, the parents of Moses. But they knew the name because it's recorded in the Scripture. And I think that they stayed consistent with the way Moses had written it in the Pentateuch right here in Exodus, that God had a reason for that, and they didn't rob God from his reason. And I believe it speaks to you and I, that God loves us, and when we have faith, just like Jochebed and just like Amram, that God will honor our faith the same. Now, look at what happens. She took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch. She basically made a little ark. She put the child in it. By the way, this little ark had a roof on it, a little top, and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. Now, here's his big sister. And his sister, this is Miriam, verse 4, stood afar off to know what would be done to him. I think that they strategized that. I think Jochebed said, Miriam, you're coming with me. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray over this child. And we're going to believe that maybe, possibly, this child is the child that was mentioned in Genesis chapter 15 when God said one day he's going to raise up a deliverer. And I've got a feeling that that had been passed down to the godly Hebrews and that they were figuring up the years. How many years has it been? How many years has it been? You know what? It's getting pretty close. It's getting pretty close. I wonder if God is ready to fulfill his covenant, to deliver his people. And you know what the Bible says? Oh, it's good. I'm going to flip there. Go to Genesis 15, because you don't want to miss this. They're in bondage. Pharaoh's made it even harder on them. I mean, they're making brick and sorrow. I mean, he's got taskmasters over them, and he's making their life miserable. Now look at verse 13, Genesis chapter 15, verse 13. Now I've got a feeling that Jochebed and Amram knew this verse. They knew this story. Then he said to Abram, they would have known it as the story. Then he said to Abram, know certainly that your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs and will serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. But we always underline and highlight verse 13 without connecting verse 14, but here's some good news. In fact, that's the title of the message this morning, Good News for Moms. And also, the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with great possessions. Now, is that a head-scratcher or what? The nation that we're serving will be judged. God's going to deliver his people. He's going to judge the ones by which they have no control over, that they are absolutely victim to. They absolutely have no ability to control their destiny. But God is going to intervene in what is their present tense, what we look back at past tense, and he's going to intervene, come into their story, And God, by his mighty hand, is going to deliver Israel out of Egypt exactly according to this word in verse 13 and 14. And remember what happened at the 10th plague? There was darkness in the night. 10th plague comes around. That's the blood on the lintels of the doors. The firstborn that didn't have the blood died. The ones that had the blood lived. And they went out. He said, eat the meat and everything. And then you go out. And when they went out, guess what happened? Egypt gave them everything they could think of. Here, take my gold rings, take my gold necklace, take this, take that. Here's your bowl of beans, take those bananas over there. They're just going to spoil if you don't take them. We've heard that from our moms when we go visit. And so they leave with great possessions. Why? Not because the Egyptian people just decided to do that, but because God said they would do that. Now, here's the application to us. God remembers your efforts. I wonder if Jochebed had any idea what was really truly happening in her life as she stepped out in faith. Secondly, another observation, God forgives your failures. Can you imagine the guilt that she was feeling as she built the ark? I think it's interesting, by the way, that Noah and his family was saved in an ark. The very waters that destroyed the world around them floated Noah and all those animals. I always wondered, was a flea on there, Marcus? Was fleas on that? I always wondered about that. And so God uses the same water that is destroying the unbelieving as the same water that is floating and saving the believing. The very Nile River where you threw the babies that were born males became the very river going, listen, floating down to the very connection to Pharaoh's daughter, the one who had put out the edict to do that. Now, she is doing everything opposite of what we would probably do. And how is she doing it? She's doing it by faith. I personally believe that she knew the story of Noah and the ark so well that she said, you know what? I'm going to trust God. And the very thing that is attacking me, the very thing that is putting the stress in my life and the pressure on me and making me where I can't seem to think straight, the very thing is where I'm going to send God and this little baby boy down the current of that river, and this little baby boy, we'll see if God has mercy. Because she could have opened that up when she sent the maiden out there to get that little ark. She could have opened it up and said, oh, it's a baby boy, and drowned the baby. Pharaoh will be mad if we don't do this. Mama had to think about that. Can you imagine the guilt that she felt as that little baby's floating off, but yet by faith she's trusting God, and she says, Miriam, run along. Go, Miriam. Run along and see what happens to the boy. And God is at work the whole time. And Miriam, with excitement, comes running back to Mama. I don't know how much later. Maybe, perhaps it wasn't that far down the river. Maybe it's a long ways down the river. But Miriam comes running back, and she says, Mom, they need a Hebrew nurse to nurse the child. And the very mom that puts the baby in the ark is the very mom that gets to nurse her own baby. So she comes, and then, to even make it better, she gets paid for it. She's got her own baby and getting paid for it. She's doing better than she was before. That's what happens when we trust the Lord. God remembers your efforts. He loves you. Let me just say this. I'm going to be really quick today. We're going to get out of here in just a few minutes. But I want to share this with you. Oh, let's get a last point. God shares your burdens. Because this is what you can't miss. So you know the story. She comes back. She goes and nurses the child. You get to verse 9. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away. Take this child away. I got a feeling she just went back home. She went back home with permission from the highest of the land that my baby is safe. You touch my baby boy, you're going to be dealing with Pharaoh because my baby boy is safe. How did you do that? Well, I just sent him down the river a little bit in a little ark, and he came back, and I got a nurse and get paid for it, and now I'm back at home. It's amazing. So now she no longer has to hide the baby, but she knows the deal. When she's done weaning this little baby, that this baby's got to be taken to Pharaoh's daughter, and she does in verse 10, and the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, because I drew him out of the water. Acts chapter 7 in Stephen's message before he was stoned, Stephen shares in his sermon, he shares this whole story that we just talked about. Shares every bit of it. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 23 shares in one verse, summarizes this story that we have right here as an act of faith. So we know that this mom, in her mind, she had to feel guilty. But God forgives, and God showed her that I'm responding to your faith. She had to have God carry her burdens. She knew, I've got to take this baby, but Lord, this is my baby, my only baby right here I've got. Miriam is older, Aaron is older, and I've got this little boy. And Lord, you've given him back to me. Do I have to carry this baby to Pharaoh's daughter? And I can see the struggle and the guilt. I can see all the normal human emotions that she experiences. And God shares the burdens. And I can just see her as she gets older. And the Lord is revealing to her and her husband that, guess what? This baby boy is going to be used for something good, for something great. Wouldn't it have been awesome if she could have lived as long as Moses got to live and seen all that that little baby boy did? You never know with your children what they'll become. You never know. Now, here's the application, then we're done, to the whole thing. Think about it like this. When we get up in the mornings, sometimes as moms, as dads, as boys and girls, men and women, we get up in the morning and we say, God, you don't know who I am. You don't remember me. And we tend to go through the day with our heads down low, forgetting that we have the God of this universe who has our name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. The God of this universe that desires a personal, loving, intimate relationship with His children. A God that wants you to talk to Him about the simple things of life. A God that wants you to pray about the little things of life. A God that wants you to sing to Him and to rejoice. Have you ever been going down the street and all of a sudden you just start singing? And I mean, you just sing and you don't even know why you're singing. You're just singing to the Lord. You know why you're doing that? Because God intimately wants to relate to you. And He's the one that is energizing the remembrance or memory, however you say the word, I don't remember. He's energizing that memorable moment for you. Memorable, I don't know. So that you, say it again. Memorable, thank you. Because God loves you, and He wants to carry your burdens. He wants to share them. He wants you to get up and look at Him by faith with your head high, and you're looking Him in the eyes, whatever you got to do, saying, I am a child of the King. I will not walk in the guilt of my past. I will walk in the victory of my Savior, and I will hold my head high because I am a child of the King, and He has my life, and He will use it for His glory because I'm offering it to Him as a living sacrifice. And God will do for you the same things He did for Elijah and all the others, and Jochebed and Abraham and Noah and all of the others you can think of in the Bible. Because when you get to heaven, you'll find out, because Malachi said it, that there has been a book of remembrance written. And I tell you, God loves you, and you are on the palm of His hands. You are in His thoughts, and He is using you today. But sometimes we don't even realize it until we're dead and gone and in heaven. And we say, oh Lord, I wish I had known that while I was on earth. I'd have been a little bit happier. There's a reason He made me love chocolate. And it'll be fulfilled in time. Literally. Let's pray. Father, we love You so much. God, we thank You for this story. We thank You, Lord, for Jochebed and the faith that she exhibited whenever she let go of that little basket and watched the currents carry it away. Father, I think of Abraham when he carried Isaac up that mountain to place him on the altar. I think of Elijah when he called upon fire from heaven to burn up the sacrifice. I think of Samson at that last hour, holding those pillars, regretting his sin, regretting how he strayed from you and regretting and all the guilt that he felt and how he prayed to you and he confessed and he says, oh God, just one more time. And how you gave him the strength to fulfill your word for his life. God, you love us. You love us when we fail you. You take our brokenness and you make it into something beautiful. And God, that's our prayer this morning. You may be in here and perhaps you've never put your faith in Christ. Would you do that right now? I mean, right where you sit, just between you and God. Say, Lord Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. I believe that you are God and that you came from heaven to die for my sins. And I give you my life, Lord. I come to you as unclean. I come to you all messed up. I bring all my sin to you, Lord, because I don't know what to do with it. Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I hate it. But Lord, this is me. I come just as I am. Lord, I desire that personal, intimate relationship that you bring. Jesus, forgive me of my sins for all eternity. Come into my heart and write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Lord, I don't have a good work to bring to you. I just bring all of me to you to be forgiven, covered by the blood. Would you do that this morning? Whatever God's put on your heart, just be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the worship service at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church and Pastor Bruce Rudd. If you've been blessed by this radio ministry, or if you've made a decision for Christ or are in need of prayer, we would love to hear from you at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church in Lindale, Texas. Give us a call, 903-882-3890. Thank you and God bless.